how are you going to watch this election unfold? Some of you will listen to the radio, others will watch cable news pundits, and still others will doom scroll through social media. But one thing's for certain is that whatever your media consumption will be today, you may want to line up some snacks and be ready for some uncertainty. Margaret Sullivan is a media columnist at the Washington Post, and she's got some tips for how journalists and the public should proceed on this big night. Margaret, welcome back to the show. It's so great to have you with us today of all days.
Thank you so much for having me on Election Day.
We have arrived. The day is here. And according to your new column, Election Day will be the media's D-Day. What does that mean?
Well, I think it's a really important test. What I mean by that is that this is an extremely important make or break day for the news media to do a good job. It's not about what happens. It's about whether the media can do its job properly, which is to, you know, most of what I'm thinking about is not to magnify untruths, to explain in context, not to parrot things that are wrong. All the things that we have unfortunately fallen prey to quite a bit during the Trump administration.
You also talk about having patience. You're asking journalists to have patience?
Well, I know it's a big ask, but I do think that, I mean, it may not turn out to be necessary. I mean, if there's a landslide of one sort or another, then certainly we're going to know on election night what has happened. But if it's a relatively close race, that could be much more of an issue, because in the early moments, in the early hours, even into, you know, the next day, it may look like one thing and turn out to be something else entirely, because all the ballots haven't been counted, and or at least a lot of them haven't been counted in key states, for example, Pennsylvania.
You're cautioning journalists to also be careful about calling races too quickly. What's at stake if they do not heed that warning?
Well, it lends itself, unfortunately, to a situation in which, and I mean, I don't think we have to be too, careful about who's going to do this or not. President Trump has already laid lots of the groundwork for saying that if he's ahead, then he's going to declare victory. Well, if he does that, and if the media parrots that, or if the news media's various decision desks are saying, well, it does look like it's headed in this direction, or whatever it may be, then if it turns around the other way, it's going to look like fraud, or it's going to look like an illegitimate outcome, which it may well not be. It may just be a matter of the votes aren't fully in. And as you know, Tanzina, this is a really unusual election for so many reasons, but one of them is that we have way more mail-in ballots than we ever have before, and much more turnout than, well, I'm certainly expecting much more turnout than there has been in recent years, in recent presidential cycles.
You mentioned the media's decision desks on election night. What are they and how do they work?
Well, they're, you know, usually at the big media organizations, there's a group of people, veteran journalists, or, you know, some of them are more on the sort of numbers crunching side of things, who analyze the races, look at, you know, key precincts, and eventually make a decision about whether they can say, okay, yes, Wisconsin has gone to X person. An interesting one is the one at Fox News, which, you know, we all think that Fox News is very pro-Trump and that their coverage is very right-leaning, but they have one of the best and most respected decision desks that is quite separate from the news content. So, you know, they have it's a very interesting situation. So, you know, will these decision desks take their time and be really sure? I think they need to be extra sure this year.
You yourself have had to make some pretty dicey early calls in presidential races.
That's
Tell
right.
us about what you learned in that process.
You know, I've been a journalist for a long time, a couple decades. And the one that sticks out in my mind, as it does for many, was the 2000 election, when the, you know, George W. Bush versus Al Gore, and it really all came down to Florida. at that time in 2000, our print edition at the Buffalo News, where I was the top editor, was still extremely important. And we had to make a decision. I had to make a decision about what kind of headline to put on the papers that people were going to get at their doorsteps the next morning. And as it happened, a consortium of news organizations originally called Florida for Bush. And so, you know, many of us went with headlines that said, ours said, for a very early edition, Bush apparent winner. But then within minutes, they reversed that and said Florida was still up for grabs. And so we ended up sending out a few that said Bush apparent winner. And then for the rest of our editions, which went to most everybody, it said something like down to the wire. But a lot of papers did much worse on that and said, you know, went ahead and said that Bush had won. And a few, not as many, but a few even declared Gore the winner. So it's a cautionary tale. You never want to have that Dewey defeats Truman moment like one of the Chicago papers did many years ago.
So back in September, Margaret, you wrote that the media needs to prepare the public for uncertainty. And there is a lot of uncertainty. I think that's part of why we're seeing such record turnout in advance of today. But that uncertainty could still be with us tonight as these ballots come in. And some news outlets could be at risk of really putting forth the idea that delayed results are an indication that the process is broken in some way.
That's right. I think actually I'm a little bit, it's not like me to be particularly complimentary or optimistic about the news media, as you know, but I actually think from having watched a lot of network news, a lot of cable news, read a lot of, you know, different organizations' work, I think that the news media actually has prepared people who are paying attention for the fact that election night might not be the time when they really know the winner. But there's another factor here, which is that for a lot of people, you know, and a good portion of the public, they're not paying attention in that way. They're going to start paying attention, you know, sometime during the evening, you know, paying close attention and say, okay, I'm going to turn on CNN or whatever it may be, and I, you know, expect to know the answer. And if I don't know the answer, well, something must be very, very wrong. So while I think it's been pretty good, it's not all on the media. Some of it is on citizens and news consumers, whichever you like to call them, to really be discerning and to be well informed. And, you know, we see all different degrees of that.
And to be able to sit with the uncertainty for a little bit, if that's what's being called for, right?
Yeah, that's really hard to do, especially because people have such strong feelings about this election. You know, everybody, no matter who you support, is ready to say that the other side is going to take us into some sort of end of the world scenario. And so emotions are running high, anxiety is running high. And as a result, you want the answer. You don't want to sit with that anxious uncertainty, but that may be exactly what we have to do.
As we are heading into the final moments for Americans to be able to cast their ballot here in this country, Margaret, how are you going to be following all of this? Are you going to be doing a combination of social media following and maybe TV? And of course, the takeaway will be part of that. But
absolutely.
How are you going to be doing it? And also, how should folks who aren't journalists be following it? What's the best piece of advice for them?
Well, I think the best thing to do and the thing that I like to do is compare and contrast. You know, don't just say, all right, my only news source, even if it's a wonderful one, is going to be X and that's it. I think it's important to look across the different platforms, the different social media platforms, the different broadcast networks, the different print outlets, radio. You know, that doesn't mean you have to make a science out of it, but maybe to pick two or three that have slightly different points of view and see how they're covering things. So for me, of course, because I write about the news media all the time, I, of course, look at Twitter a lot. I, of course, look at the major print organizations, the major networks, and I also make sure that I see what right-leaning or pro-Trump media is doing too. So I will definitely be spending some time on Fox News and others that will be telling probably quite a different story than what we're seeing elsewhere.
It'll be a long day for many of us. Margaret Sullivan is a media columnist at The Washington Post and frequent guest here on The Takeaway. Margaret, thanks as always.
You are so welcome. Great to be with you and your listeners, Tanzina.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.